With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at all last weekend's results in the league, as we'll be at the Butcher's Arms, the home of Drosden, with Swampy and Roy Sewell. Later on in the show, we're also going to be joined by James Hayes and Andrew Snay from Whitby Town Radio. Plus, we'll be hearing from the management at Stafford Rangers, Whitby Town, Buxton, Nantwich Town and Stourbridge. Plus, we're also joined by the broadcasting legend John Walsh from BBC Radio Cumbria to talk all things Workington. All that and loads more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everybody to this week's show. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be looking back at all the results from the past week, and later on we've got Andrew Snaith coming on from Whitby Town Radio to preview all the fixtures for this coming weekend. Plus we've got loads of interviews with managers, but we're going to kick things off with a bit of back patting in a way. Well, the official statistician and historian Dominic McKenzie is hailing this season's attendances after the latest figures have been released for the 2016-17 campaign. And Dominic joins us now. Hello, Dominic. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So this is it's quite significant, this, and a very big number of supporters have been through NPL gates this season.
That's right, yeah. I mean, I've been looking at my statistics, and I think we're somewhere quite well over 300,000. Depending which games you're looking at, league games, we're looking at well over 300,000. If we add in all the other competitions, it takes it up to nearly 370,000.
And this is across all three divisions, the Premier and both Division 1s as well. From this season, obviously, we've got the likes of Stourbridge, who have got an average attendance of over 800. Obviously, Stafford Rangers, who are a big club with a proud history in non-league, 649 average attendance. And obviously, then you've got the likes of the North East clubs with Blyth and Spennymoor. Plus, as well, big clubs like Corby and Workington. It has been cracking when it comes to attendances in the Premier Division this season.
Well, when you take something like Corby, who've been struggling a bit, but have recently started to come back a bit. Their gates actually are quite outstanding, and it's gratifying to see that people are prepared to watch even when times are tough, you know. But generally speaking, I mean, the whole division seems to be doing well. I mean, I live in the Manchester area, and I've watched lots of clubs in this area at times. Sometimes the gates have been a bit disappointing. So when you look at the likes of Blyth with over 10,000 so far, and Corby Town coming up to 10,000. Hales Owen, you know, they're having a difficult season, but, you know, they've got some good gates there, coming up to 10,000 themselves. Even the likes of Ilkeston with over 5,000 doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should mention that that's the Premier, but Division 1 are also pulling the weight. And some surprising clubs as well. I mean, obviously, Glossop and Tadcaster have joined the NPL over the last couple of seasons. And with the likes of a team you would expect to have good attendance is Scarborough Athletic. But then again, you wouldn't expect Scarborough Athletic because the home support are having to travel so far to get up to Bridlington. So we're talking of attendances approaching 400 there with Glossop, Tadcaster and Scarborough.
Absolutely. And I mean, even the likes of Clitheroe doing well. They've got over 5,000 watched them this year, an average of 315, which, you know, for the middle of Lancashire is good. Not too far to the likes of Burnley and Blackburn there, so I think they can be rightly proud. As you say, Glossop coming up to 6,000 for the season. Excellent gates there.
And we should say, I think one of the secrets must be the pies at Glossop because they are cracking, and and as well as the football, of course, the football, but mainly the pies. And just a quick mention for Division One South. Obviously, this season we've had Rushden Diamonds come over from the Southern League, and well, they're knocking it out of the park when it comes to attendances. But we should also mention the likes of Witten and Stamford and Leek, all bolstering attendances in Division One South this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rushden and Diamonds have got over 7,000, 440 their average gate, so they're doing really well.
Well, Dominic McKenzie, official statistician and historian for the Northern Premier League, a big thank you for joining us with this excellent news. We should congratulate all the clubs, all the league officials, all the volunteers, all the players, all the catering staff, because pies are important in this league, for helping these figures. It's cracking stuff, and you keep up the good work, Dom.
Well, I'll do my best.
So, hello everyone, and welcome to the Indie Disco that is the Butcher's Arms here, the home of Drolsden. It's Tuesday evening, and we're here for the Division 1 North clash between Drolsden and Colwyn Bay. Currently 2-1 to Colwyn Bay, but the winner tonight isn't football. It's the jukebox, isn't that right, Swamper?
As soon as it's like being in the Ritz or the Brick House or the, many a fantastic nightclub in the early 90s here, it's the Butcher's Arms.
Just to let you know, dear listener, we haven't gone Manx-centric or anything like that. It's a one-off, this, but we are like Kevin Perry. Anyway, Saturday's results. There's three matches taking place on Tuesday evening, which we'll cover off with James Hayes shortly.
Well, before we do, Ben, in fairness, I think we need to talk about this game. We've afforded everyone else around this league to talk about the first half, and I've got to say, it was one of the most entertaining, from a footballing perspective, both Drolsden and Colwyn Bay playing some terrific football. 2-1 at half-time, as you say, going 1-0 down early in the first eight minutes with a typical Jamie Ravenford goal at the back post. And Drolsden came back and they played some lovely, lovely football. It's a really tough pitch, but everything on the deck, they're creating space and good movement and a good equaliser from Scott Metcalf. And, all set to go in at half-time, one apiece, but just before the break, Colwyn Bay get into the ascendancy. But yeah, really entertaining game of football, and surprisingly, because we've seen some, shall we say, some average games.
I think this is the best one we've seen.
This is probably the best this season we've seen so far. Yeah, it's been entertaining stuff.
Now, Roy's joining us as well, as now he's finished networking. Hi, Roy.
He was with Marine's goalkeeper, ex-Ashton assistant manager.
It's not networking. It is networking. It's like a who's who here, anyway.
We're in the Pigeon Street corner, aren't we? Look at it. It's like, above us, it's like a scene from the Dodgems.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the football.
Do you like heavy metal, by the way?
This is song 2 by Blur, mate. Anyway.
So I said you like heavy metal.
This isn't heavy metal, is it? What?
Okay.
Anyway,
I'll become apparent in a second, Ben.
So, I remember now. Sorry. Anyway, I've aged 15 years since this song came out. But anyway, let's talk about the matches from Saturday. Blythe Spartans still out in front, 10 points clear, pretty much as you were, really, in a way. They've done that with a 2-2 draw at Silverlands, which, on paper, is a good result for both clubs, really.
Well, to be honest, on paper, it's a great result for Buxton, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, even a draw at home, you know, against the likes of Blythe is a testament, you know, that Buxton are kicking in the right sort of areas, like, you know, as regards results and development. Blythe feel that they might have done better. You know, especially, you know, as the fact that they do fancy themselves for being league champions. But saying that, you know, they're there to be chopped at and brought down to earth again, aren't they? And teams are willing to do that.
I was wondering, Roy, which areas would be the wrong areas to be kicked in? Because that was an interesting statement there. They're kicking in the right areas. I mean, is there a wrong area to kick in? That'd be interesting to know from your professional experience. What are indeed the wrong areas to kick in?
Anyway, currently there's a bit of a tussle for who's going to get home advantage in the final, if it ever gets to that stage. Nantwich Town are currently second on 68 points. Stourbridge are in third, also on 68 points. A cracking 3-0 win for Nantwich against Colville Town at the weekend. Stourbridge drawing 0-0 with Micklover. Both are going to be in the playoffs. I think that's some doubt into the zone now.
No question about it. I think both of those teams are deservedly there as well. I mean, Nantwich Town have been a team, obviously, they're a really good FA Cup and also FA Trophy run, didn't they? And they were under the radar with a lot of games in hand. But what they've done, they've just carried on, a bit of quality. It's a lovely service at Nantwich as well. So, you know, teams that are going there are in for a game of football. They're on 68 points, a game less than Stourbridge. But Stourbridge, we know, they've kicked on as well. They had that little bit of a blip, but they're right up there again. 37 points, but the goal difference again between the two is only one, so it really is going to be a big battle between, I think, those two. For me, are the two teams that are going to fight it out for second and third, certainly, and with the surprise package, as Ben will now tell us.
So, Roy, last week we spoke to Toby McCormack, and he was very happy with what Berkey said. You know, no one round that table really thinks Warrington can make the playoffs. What do you think? And it looks like now, all of a sudden, they're in fourth. They've got points on the board, Roy. Do you want to look at the league table there?
I'll have a look at the league table.
It is tight, I'll grant you that. You know, there's Workington, there's Spennymoor with games in hand. You know, it is tight, but But Warrington are there.
Yeah, they're there, but in my opinion, I think other teams are
still going
better suited, you know, for that. It is the fourth spot that they're all going for, you know, at the end of the day, as far as I'm concerned. And you're talking, you know, Wallington's in there with them, but, you know, it's the game's played, in my opinion, you know. I think that will be the telling factor.
Now, they've done that with a 2-1 win against Frickley, which is a good result considering, you know, Frickley are fighting for their lives at the moment, and I've pulled out some good results this season.
Yeah, yeah.
Buxton are in fifth. It also on a point back from Warrington. Matlock are also a point back from Warrington. They're in sixth position. They bounced back this week. 3-0 win against Stafford. That's a cracking result, that.
Yeah, great win. It was a great win because, you know, at the end of the day, they may be one of the unsung teams, Stafford, and maybe should have done better in their own eyes as well. But Matlock have really bounced back and, you know, put a big stamp on it.
To me, it's clear that Matlock obviously have been kicking in the right way.
In the right area as well.
And areas.
Workington, I love Workington. I say this every week, but I do love Workington. They've won again, 2-0 away at Hensford.
Big result as well, that for them as well. You know, Hensford,
yeah, great win.
Hensford are tough to go and play against. Again, another great football service, a great football ground. And Workington are going about the business. I mean, if you look at it though, the teams, you know, we're looking at Warrington and we're looking at the likes of Workington, and even, you know, with Whitby, the only thing
that's the W's, mate.
The three W's. The thing that all they've all got in common as well is their goal differences are all on a pluses, but +7, +7, a +3. All the other teams around them are like +19, +10, +28. So that might actually come into play right at the end of the season, because as you say, I think we all realise fourth and fifth spots are the two places where all these teams are playing towards. So them that goal difference could make a major, major difference this season.
I'm going to suggest Workington's was a pivotal result for them. Also, Spennymoor winning 2-1 away at Hells Owen. They've been a bit wobbly of late, and that showed up the results for them. And Whitby Town 1-1 against Rushall Olympic. Going to form that, really. It was always going to be a bit.
It is, but let's just go back to Spennymoor a second, because one thing Spennymoor have got over everybody else is to play 34 games. We've got two games, in fact, three games with some teams. So if they carry on this form, you know, again, they're going to be right up there. They'll be looking for promotion this season through the playoffs now, because I said we've all agreed where it's going. That fourth and fifth spot, we've now got seven or eight teams all going for two spots. Mm. And whoever finishes in that sixth spot is going to be, I reckon it'll be based on goal difference more than anything.
Now, you mentioned games played being a factor for Warrington. Grantham drew 1-1 with Ilkeston, which is a cracking result for Ilkeston, we should say. But Grantham are now in 10th, 3 points from the playoffs, but they've played 38 games. Is that now Grantham done?
I would say so, you know, with the likes of Matlock and what have you, you know, spending more in and around them. Because, you know, there's a few teams have had little hiccups, you know, and, you know, nervous moments possibly, you know, in the performances, which have related in results as well, poor results from. But, no, you know what? They've had a great season, haven't they? You know what I mean? And to be honest, they play football in a really entertaining manner, you know, and, you know, they've done well. You know, they shouldn't be disappointed in any way, shape or form if they don't hit those playoff spots.
They've scored a lot of goals this season, 61 goals this season, and they're up there with the rest of them. So again, entertainment certainly there from them. But as I say, you know, this will bode well, because the teams that are there or thereabouts, they can keep this form, and let's say they just miss out, it bodes well for next season, going into next season. Keep the same squad if you can, add one or two, maybe three or four new players, and keep that momentum going for next season, because there's some big hitters leaving this season. And you know, the division people will look and say, right, okay, it's our turn this year. And I think sometimes you've got this division now where teams are looking at like who's in it, and then say, right, well, for us it's probably two seasons away once we get rid of A, B and C, and once we can do that, you know, we can all kick in the right direction.
Just a couple more results to mention then. Down the bottom end, 5-1 winners Corby Town against Sutton Coldfield. Epic.
Absolutely outstanding. And, you know, no longer in the bottom four. I think the you know, bottom,
it's a hell of a turnaround. I know we're taking it for granted, but,
well, to be honest, if they do stay up this season, as Roy's trying to now flick
the down arrow, Roy. There you go. Keep going. There you go. Sorted.
19th spot now. You know, 39 points. Done tremendously well. And you know where they were, I mean, I would say this is the team of the season. Team of the season, second half of the season,
certainly.
Absolutely incredible to get where they are, and I want everyone would want them to stay up now.
Well,
you
Tommy,
don't miss the final hurdle, do you?
Tommy Brookbanks last week for Colville Town said he's not. Obviously, you can get distracted looking at teams around you, but he set the target of 50 points to ensure Colville will be all right.
Yeah.
Obviously, Frickley and Sutton Coldfield, bad results this past weekend, but they will live again, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, Marine beating Ashton as well, which is a cracking result.
Yeah, it was a tremendous result, that, to be honest. And, you know, it's been coming, hasn't it, over the last couple of weeks, you know. So, and we're talking with Philo just before, previously. You know, it's a nice little squad coming together there.
It's and, that experience, isn't it, Roy? That experience of a goalkeeper with, you know, 400 games behind him, showing and talking to his players, you know, the experience there. And they're now in 18 spot, and, you know, they're not out of it yet. But the same token, you would have thought with that new squad that they've got, different players coming in, a little bit of experience, you know, and a manager with bags of experience, leading the line, walking down the motorway last week when the team bus was, well, it broke down, and he was leading the way with about four or five bags.
Shouting, calm down, calm down.
And that bit will be edited.
But when I look at it, you know, I'm looking at the goal difference here, and Corby's, you know, that could be a telling factor, you know, as it could be at the other end, like, you know, for the playoff spots.
Well, the
they've done really well, and the fact is, like, yeah, exactly,
looking
the four teams below them.
31, 37, 53.
Yeah, and they've got an opportunity, to be honest, to possibly catch, you know, a couple of the ones above them as well. Like, you know, with a couple of scores like that last one on Saturday, you know, can get a fiver, you know, going into the nets, that's your...
And we still think Hillsborough will be fine.
I think so. I've watched Owen, like, you know, a couple of times this year, and they might not be pulling roots up in the division, like, you know, but they play decent football and are pretty solid, like, you know. Maybe they should have had a couple more wins, to be honest.
To be honest, I think from their position they're in with 34 games played, you know, the everyone below them has played 38, Ilson have played 33, but they've gone. There's no way they're going to get out of it. If Hales Owen get relegated based on the four games advantage over the two of the teams below them, then for me they deserve to go down. But I can't see, I can see they're staying up, and I think as it stands at this moment in time, those bottom four may well stay there for a little while. There might be a little bit of a blip, but I think for a little while now, I think we're going to find those bottom four staying where they are.
Just to let you know, dear listener, someone on this show has said that week in, week out, with varying different changes of the four or five teams we've talked about. It's James Hayes. There's still time. But to the sound of Ian Brown, it's now time to leave you and hand back to the studio. Big thanks to Roy, Sewell and Swampy for joining us. And the second half at the Butcher's Arms, back to the studio.
So, welcome everybody back to the studio, and we're here, and a big thank you to Drolsden for their lovely hospitality. What a cracking game that was yesterday between Drolsden and Colwyn Bay. Finished 4-2, but football really was the win. It was a cracking game of football and a great advert for Division 1 North, and a big thank you to Drolsden for their hospitality. And James Hayes joins us now, somewhere in Lancashire. Where are you?
I'm just outside a pub called Gables. That's the Lancashire FA headquarters, ready for our semi-final match in the Lancashire Cup against Clitheroe. And I'm sadly joined by all the Radcliffe Borough fans tonight who've decided to listen to our new recordings.
Have we got a team sheet yet?
Ben, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. We should say as well, we mentioned it on the podcast, we mentioned it on the recording from Tuesday night, but the jukebox, have you ever heard the jukebox at Drolsden, the half-time music that they play?
I have listened to it very many times. Again, I used to live literally just 2 minutes down the road, so the jukebox at Drolsden is very unique, shall we say, but
you
it's a good jukebox.
You're on Sky Sports News!
I apologise in advance, by the way, if fans want to get involved.
I feel like a radio version of Jim White on transfer deadline day, and you're the poor Sky Sports news journalist at the training ground getting things rubbed in your cheek. Anyway, yes, very Manx-centric music. It was cracky stuff. So Tuesday night in the league, just to give you some results from Tuesday night, we're going to have some interviews as well as we go. But James, just your overall thoughts now. There was three matches, one of which had a bit of importance up at the top end. Whitby Town 4, Halesowen Town 1. Has an impact up at the top and also down the bottom.
Yeah, Whitby Town, great result for them. They needed just to catch up with that at the same time. We said it last week, just need to catch it up now with spending more time because just for that chasing pack. Halesowen Town are in serious trouble at this moment in time now as a result, because again, with the results from the midweek and from Saturday as well, it's a bit of a nightmare now for them because they're right in that relegation spot now. Even though they've got the games in hand, it's not necessarily easy for them now. Fantastic result for Whitby, just getting back into the playoff race, and they just now focus on getting forward there. But Halesowen have got to focus now.
Well, let's hear the post-match thoughts from Whitby Town. Here's Paul Connolly speaking to the marvellous Chris Harder.
Chris, a 4-1 win for Whitby Town this evening against Halesowen. How did you rate the performance?
I thought it was first class. I think if the scoreline was 6-0, it probably would have justified how dominant we were in the game. We've conceded an early goal, a poor goal really. You know, we've had opportunities to clear our lines. We haven't done that. We've managed, you know, we've been punished on the back of it. It could have been an opportunity for lads to, you know, down tools and like you say, make a long night of it. But instead we got back at it. We've managed to get level for the half. Like I say, you know, kicked on and really put a good, solid performance in tonight. You know, they're a side that were happy to slow the game down. They were trying to frustrate, but we didn't allow that to come into play. Like you say, the energy levels in the side tonight were outstanding. You know, some really good performances. I thought May was dominant at the back tonight. Cal Martin was exceptional from start to finish. Gelly he's on a fantastic run of form as of late. And many more other, you know, performances that were really good this evening. It could have been a banana skin this tonight. You know, I can't stress that enough. But I thought that just whatever was put in our way tonight, we got over it and got through it and got past it.
For Saturday's trip to Stafford, Chris, it's going to be a tough trip down there on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, every trip's tough. Every game's tough. And like you say, tonight was tough for different reasons. But if we can get, you know, anywhere near tonight's level of performance, we won't have any problems on Saturday.
It's an even bigger boost as well that we've moved back into the top four going into that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that type of performance there, you know, I think we are a top four side, but we've got to be consistent with it and we've got to see that more often than not.
So, Chris Hardy there, manager at Whitby Town, and a big thank you to Whitby Town Radio and Paul Connolly for that interview there. A big result that for Whitby Town. You mentioned Halesowen Town there, James, but they do have three games in hand and there's a win in them. We saw that when they played Stourbridge, they nearly did it, and they do get the occasional win, Halesowen. So
they do, but it's how often they can get that win now. It's getting to that point where they have to now win the games.
And just to mention, you said teams fighting for their lives there. Sutton Coldfield Town is certainly one of them. And a good win this at Stormy Corner. 3-1 away win for Sutton Coldfield Town. Sees them 2 points now to safety. They have played a game more than Frickley and Corby. They played four games more than Halesowen, but that was an important 3 points that for Sutton Coldfield.
Indeed so. Just again, keep them after last week's results as well that went completely against them. I thought they were dead and buried. But again, with all results around it, it just gives them that little bit of breathing room. But looking at the next three games, they've got to continue that pace up. The next two, especially on the F3G pitch, is going to be vital for them just to stay up.
And lastly then, on Tuesday night, Ilkeston 1, Stafford Rangers 2. We're going to get the post-match reaction now of Neil Kitching, and then we'll get your thoughts, James.
Neil, your thoughts on that? Pleased to get the win, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course. David, it's been difficult 10 days, couple of weeks, you know, with the results and performances. And, you know, been searching for a win, searching for a goal. And about a win, searching performance and a goal, and I think we've got two good goals tonight. I think we've got a good performance and obviously the win, which what we needed. I said to you the weekend we needed a win quickly. We've got that, and let's hope we can go on a little bit of a run now. I think fully deserved. On a difficult pitch, very, very bubbly. You know, and all the shenanigans that have gone on beforehand with the lights and stuff, you know, it's hard to prepare mentally for that. Are the lights going to stay on? Are they going to go off? You know, 15 minutes warm up and you're asking lads to go out and under pressure, because make no bones about it, the last couple of weeks we've dragged ourselves into trouble at the bottom. You know, I've got no problems with saying that. And we've needed a couple of wins quickly, or a win quickly, and we've managed to do that tonight. and I just felt that the longer it went on without us getting a win, we were getting pulled into stuff that we really shouldn't be getting pulled into. That will settle things down tonight, because not only have we got a performance under pressure, we've got a result. I think what you see from the last 20 minutes is character. The boys know that they've put themselves in a little bit of a hole, and they're willing to get themselves out of it pretty quickly. And we've done that, and we've done it with desire, work rate, effort and character.
I was going to say, after when they got their goal back, there was that sort of feeling of, is it going to be a draw now? But I don't actually remember them really threatening to get a second goal.
Which is testament to the players, because, you know, we've been known for that early part of the season and over the last few weeks, you know, to concede sloppy goals. We didn't concede a sloppy goal tonight. It's a well-taken strike. The kids hit it from 25, 30 yards, top me. But when you've had the form we've had, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks and the results we've been getting, and, you know, teams winning around us, then you might think that the players would look at that and think, well, we'll just concede a goal at 2-1 and it'd be a difficult 20 minutes. But I thought, character-wise, we saw the game out really well and perhaps should have won it 3 or 4 with a couple of chances. Pez has put the ball across the box. You know, Pez has had a header late on as well. So really, we should have won by a greater margin.
So Neil Kitchen there, big thank you to Stafford Rangers TV for that clip as always. And well, Stafford Rangers, a 2-1 away win at Ilkeston. We've said a lot about Ilkeston. They're still mathematically possible as long as they've got games in hand. And they've got 5 games in hand over Sutton Coldfield, 4 games in hand over Frick Athletic and Corby. But they are, the points are drifting away from them now.
Yeah. It's getting more and more tense, not just for Ilkeston, but for Skelmersdale at this moment in time. Skelmersdale have got 2 games to save their season now. Otherwise, then bottom two, the nail is nearly there for them now, I feel. And it's just getting to the point where they've effectively got to win all the games now. I can't see that happening.
So those were the 3 league matches on Tuesday. We'll come to the league in a second because we're going to be speaking to Andrew Snaith with a full fixture preview for this weekend. But just to cover off the Integro Dudeson League Cup, Dudeson League Cup, Dudeson Roundup, quarterfinals, James, midweek, Rushton and Diamonds 2, Buxton 3, Daniel Burns getting a goal in 0 minutes. I didn't know that was possible. How was that possible?
I didn't think it was possible either, but next couple of weeks will be interesting in all 3 divisions because you've got playoff races left, right and centre. Relegation and title chases.
So that is the past. What about the future? Well, there's only one place we can turn to, and that is to Whitby Town Radio's very own for a full fixture preview for all the matches taking place on Saturday the 18th of March. That's right, dear listener, we're nearly at the end. It's Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andy. How's things?
Hiya, Ben. Everything's good, mate. Great to be here.
So we are nearly at the end. Just over a month to go. It's scary now. I don't like it. What do people do when the season finishes? Is it hit things with bats and stuff? I don't know. Anyway.
That's it. I get involved in that whole cricket madness.
Do you really? Oh,
I like a bit of cricket, yeah.
I branched out into rugby league to see if that will help fill the void. I'm waiting to see. I'm a month in. I'm enjoying it. It's all right. But anyway. Enough about this. Still got a month left of the season. And there's some interesting matches taking place this weekend in the league. We'll kick things off with... where do you want to start? Should we start at the top? We'll start at the top. And we'll start at the bottom.
Yes.
Ha! Blyth Spartans are hosting Skelmersdale United this weekend in a classic top versus bottom kind of affair. Is it done and dusted for both with regards to what they're... Well, one team is trying to win something, one team is trying to not win something. But is it all done and dusted, do you feel, now?
Yes. Next!
Right.
No, it's... I think so, yeah. I think Blyth are... It's very much in their own hands. To be 10 points clear, I mean, I can almost hear Berkey's words echoing in my head. To be 10 points clear at the top, 9 games left, a plus 52 goal difference, says it all really for Blyth. And at the wrong end of the table, unfortunately, it's just been so difficult. For Skelmersdale, they lost Tommy Lawson the last few weeks, replaced him. An impossible task. It's obviously going to be a difficult task for Skelmersdale United. To replace Tommy Lawson, their manager, Alan Rogers coming in there, an impossible task for him though. by all accounts, and 20 points adrift with a minus 55 goal difference. I mean, so effectively 21 points adrift. They've only got 9 games left. The most they can possibly get is 27 points. It's not going to be enough. And unfortunately for Skelmersdale, they've got to be preparing for life in the First Division North. And Blyth Spartans, although they probably won't admit it, in some ways preparing for life in the Conference North, no doubt.
And joining them, there's going to be one of the following teams. Nantwich and Stourbridge are definitely in the playoffs now. Would you agree with that?
I would think so, yeah. It feels like it's just the other two positions that are up for grabs. Yeah, Nantwich and Stourbridge, the cream has risen, but they always had games in hand, and they seem to have negotiated them well. The couple of teams that had games in hand which haven't gone well, Matlock, Spennymoor, they're struggling a little bit, but then, you know, you're going to list all these teams and there's barely a couple of points between them.
Now, we've got interviews coming up now involving Nantwich and Stourbridge, because I think the general consensus is with all the pundits that Nantwich and Stourbridge are in the playoffs now, but let's see what the managers have to say. Starting off with this match here, it's Ilkeston hosting second-placed Nantwich Town. We're now joined by the assistant manager at the club. It's Neil Savelle, who joins us now. Hello, Neil. How's things?
Hiya, fine, thanks. Yeah.
So we've been talking about this playoff race now for about 4 months. It feels it's been awfully tight. 12, 11 teams all involved, but it feels like over the last couple of weeks or so, Nantwich have got it into gear. And I don't want to be too preemptive, but what's it all been down to?
Well, it's still tight from our point of view. You know, I know we've kind of bought ourselves a bit of breathing space at the minute, but, you know, we've got a real tough period of games coming up, which could make or break it for us. We go to Ilkeston on Saturday. Obviously, a team fighting for their lives, it's going to be difficult. We've seen that when we went to Skem 2 weeks ago. You know, there's no guaranteed 3 points in the NPL. Then following that, I think we've got a block of 4 games against, you know, tough teams all fighting for the playoffs. So it's going to be difficult. So, we'll need to see where we're at the end of that kind of period of games.
Now, you're quite right, Neil, about you know, saying, you know, we've got to take every game as it comes and that kind of thing. That's with regards to the playoffs. Now, Blyth Spartans are out in front at the moment, but you play Blyth on Tuesday at the Dabba Dome. What are you expecting over with Blyth? And have you and Phil ruled out a title run at the moment?
Difficult, isn't it? I think 10 points with 10 games to go. I know we've got a game in hand. It's a big margin. Probably teams are looking at everyone's looking at the Premier League, aren't they, and looking at Chelsea and saying 10 points, it's game over. So it's difficult. Look, it'll be an interesting game Tuesday. By far the best team we've come up against this season. And the stats don't lie, do they? They're at the top for a reason. I think we've won the most games, scored the most, conceded the least. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We didn't do ourselves justice, I don't think, when we went there just after Christmas and we were well beat. So we're hopeful of, you know, giving them a better game this time.
But you've got a decent scoring record yourself, and I saw Nantwich early in the season when you played Hales Owen, and obviously we've had Johnny Crowther on a few times talking about the way Nantwich play. You do play very attractive football, very attacking football, all on the deck, very nice on the eye. Is that the culture that you and Phil have tried to install at the club, and do you think it helps at this level of the game?
Well, it's just down to your principles, isn't it, and how you want to play. For us, that's the style we want to play. So that's what we encourage. That's what we work on in training. It's been successful for us, you know, so far. So long may it continue. I'm sure there's people who'll criticise it and say it's naive maybe at the level we're at. But I think our lads have bought into it. We've got some good players and they're fully capable of playing the way we want them to play, which is to get it down and play as much as possible.
Well, it's been a cracking season thus far, and the next month I imagine is going to be pretty great, and it's partly thanks to Nantwich as well as all the other clubs. So Neil Savelle, a big thank you for joining us, assistant manager at Nantwich Town, and a safe journey to Nottinghamshire on Saturday, and wish you all the best of luck and a safe journey back.
Okay, appreciate that. Thanks very much.
So a big thank you there to Nantwich Town for joining us. That game there against Ilkeston coming up this weekend. Just a general thought about Ilkeston. They had a decent draw last week against Grantham, a cracking result that against Grantham on Saturday. But then midweek, the Stafford Rangers defeat, it's just not clicking, is it, at Ilkeston?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the issues off the field are well documented. Can't be easy for the guys trying to do the business on it. And they've got another tough one coming up on Saturday against Nantwich. Of course, they'd have thought that going to Grantham last weekend. So anything can happen, but all sorts of rumours regarding whether the players are training and whether they're being paid, which we obviously can't comment on. But yeah, you would think that Nantwich have a great chance going to Ilkeston, another team who, despite the games in hand, you would think would be joining Skelmersdale in going down as things stand.
And just sticking up to the towards the top end, obviously we just heard from Nantwich Town. Stourbridge are in third position. They have played a game more than Nantwich Town. They are on 68 points, 10 points behind Blyth Spartans. This weekend, Stourbridge are travelling to Workington. So a big welcome to manager at Stourbridge, Gary Hackett, joins us now. Hello, Gary. How's things?
Yeah, good afternoon. Not bad, thanks. We're just preparing to make the long journey up to Workington tonight.
Oh, God, you're going tonight. Oh, that's good preparation, though. I was going to ask you how you're going to you take the travelling. So going up on a Friday evening.
Well, it's one of those things. It's for ourselves. I think we're probably the third. It's the third longest journey. I think Corby and Barwell are longer, but for ourselves, getting up the M5, M6 on a Saturday, bearing in mind it's a five-hour journey, it can be very traumatic. And we're in a position where, you know, we have decided that we're going to travel up at 3 o'clock on a Friday. So the weather forecast is not brilliant. It might not end up being the brightest idea, but as I said, we'll try and give ourselves the best chance to get a result at Workington.
Trust me, Gary, it takes a lot for a match to get called off in Cumbria. It really does. So I think you might. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, because now it's not going to happen. Oh, I wish you all the best of luck anyway. Anyway, you've been on the show now, it feels like, about 20 times this season for various reasons. We're getting to the business end of the season now, and you must be really pleased with where Stourbridge are.
Well, yeah, we are pleased. I mean, it's since the FA Cup third round game against Wickham, it's been very traumatic in terms of, you know, the amount of players that have been injured, long-term injuries, people who've left the club due to, you know, moving to higher levels. And to a degree, it's virtually a different squad. And it's been hard work, I must say. But, you know, fair play to the lads. They've been they've held their nerve. They've kept themselves in there. We've had a few indifferent results. But, you know, like you say, coming into, you know, the last quarter of the season, it's all to play for, and we're very much in there, which is the key thing.
Now, I think you're probably more than in there. I mean, I don't mean to put pressure on you, Gary, but I'm going to. obviously, the playoff race this season has been absolutely crackers, especially for the last two or three months or so. It's been anybody's from the top 10. But it's now increasingly looking likely that yourselves and Nantwich are going to be in the playoffs this season. But it's not a foregone conclusion, is it? There's loads of teams behind you who are capable of putting a run on. How are you keeping the focus?
Well, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion. And you know, whenever you get overconfident, football will have a nasty habit of kicking you in the teeth. And, you know, we've just got to make sure that we don't do that. You know, we, like maybe a lot of clubs, we've got a few injury problems at the moment. Next Thursday is the last day we can sign any players. So, you know, we're looking to get a couple of recruits in so we're as strong as we can. But as I said, it's a matter of keeping your nerve now. Yes, you need a bit of luck with injuries. And we're in a position that teams have got to catch us. But, you know, you've just got to deal with it as best as you can. And like Nantwich, like all those challenging, you know, they're everybody's looking to put a run together.
And you mentioned going up to Workington early. Obviously, you've got Workington on Saturday. But then you've got Ilkeston on Monday. The games are coming thick and fast now. How is the squad developing and holding up?
Well, I'm hoping I'll have, you know, two new signings in for Monday, but they won't be available for Saturday against Workington. But we'll go as strong as we can with what we've got, and we'll give it. You know, Workington themselves are, you know, very much think they've got it there and with a chance. So it's a big game for both clubs, and we know we can do ourselves a big favour, and vice versa.
And just in closing, Gary, just before you go, you are in this tussle with Nantwich. How important, not to be too preemptive, but how important would home advantage be, firstly in the semi-final, and then if you do get that far, in the final as well?
Yeah, of course, home advantage is going to be great. You know, it means you're not going to be doing any travelling, but it is what it is. And, you know, you've just got, whether we finish second, third, fourth or fifth, We've just got to make sure we hit those playoffs. And, yeah, of course, our target will be second. You never know, bizarrely, if somebody like Blythe having a horrendous run. But I think a lot of people now, they're looking for, you know, second spot. I think it would take an amazing slip-up off Blythe, and also it would take an amazing run off somebody like ourselves or Nantwich to catch them. So, but, yeah, we're aiming for second spot. And we'll give it everything we can. And bizarrely, I think we played Nantwich last game of the season. You know, it'd be a great occasion if there was something on it for both clubs, because it would be one heck of a game.
I'm sure it'll be a playoff love in that one. It'll be lovely, that game. Anyway, Gary Hackett, a big thank you for joining us. Safe journey up to the north, and well, wish you all the best of luck, and safe journey back as well on Saturday evening. So those are the views there of Gary Hackett, manager at Stourbridge. So on this show, obviously, we've been accused, wrongly in my opinion, because I'm from Salford, of being Manx-centric. And I don't think that's fair. But, you know, we've got Andrew Snaith on, who's a proper northerner. You know, people say, oh, I'm from Yorkshire, I'm proper northern. Andrew Snaith is from North Yorkshire, proper northern. But he's not northern enough. Let's go over to proper North Cumbria to be joined by broadcasting legend from BBC Radio Cumbria. It's John Walsh. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello there. Very well. Very good. Thank you very much. Yeah, smashing.
Oh, well, welcome to the show. It's your debut. Must be a proud moment for you, I'd imagine. Workington this season, they've been up and down like a yo-yo. They can't quite get a run together, but they're well and truly in this playoff race. What have you made of the season thus far for Workington?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Exactly what's not happened is they've been able to put together a long winning sequence. They've been consistently inconsistent, yet still in with a shout. I mean, the last two matches have been excellent. We won at Hensford last Saturday with 10 men, won 2-0, and it was the best performance away from home this season. They were very, very good, and that's when Workington are at the best. Even though with 10 men, we were the better side. Previously in midweek, we'd won a very tight game at Marine 1-0. And these are the sort of ugly wins. You know what it's like. You've got to win ugly at times. And that one, 1-0 at Marine, was a real ugly win. And we did that. But you see, the problem being that the previous match at home to the bottom side, Skelmersdale, they'd only won three games up to that point. And we were shocking, absolutely awful, and lost 1-0. And that result prevented us from at this moment in time, sitting in the top five. And, you know, we've been saying to ourselves ever since then, I just hope that result doesn't come back and haunt us, because it would be really, really criminal, really, the fact that we didn't perform against a side we should have done, if it's going to cost us a place in the playoffs. It's
been a bit of a transitional season for Workington in many ways, and it's credit to everyone at the club that Workington are involved in this, and it is such a competitive playoff race. I mean, have you ever known anything like it?
No, this season is particularly tight. There are so many sides. I mean, I remember writing for the local paper, or perhaps even in the programme notes, that you could go down, this was two, 3 months ago, you could go down to perhaps 12th in the table, and those teams still had a chance of making the playoffs. And it's really, you know, as results have gone on, teams have lost games where you thought they were naturally going to win. I mean, look at our Skelmersdale result. And that shows that the league at the moment, anybody on the day is capable of beating everybody else. You know, it's just one of those leagues. Much tighter than the last 2 years, although we had outstanding teams. FC United of Manchester 2 years ago, where we reached the semi-final of the playoffs and got beat at home by Ilkeston, a team we'd beaten twice in the previous month in the league. And last season, when we got to the final, and we were within, I think, 9 minutes of beating Salford on their ground when we lost 3-2 in the end, there weren't as many teams fighting for the places. But this year, it's really, really intense.
And I was just going to say about Workington's pedigree, and obviously there's been a couple of changes here and there with Workington, but if Workington do manage to get themselves into those playoffs, I'm just looking at the other teams who could get into the playoffs. When it comes to experience of these playoff situations, Workington are well placed.
Yeah, I mean, this would be our third successive one. I mean, we came down from we were comfortable in Conference North as it was, Vanarama National North as it is now. We were comfortable in that league for 8-9 seasons. Then suddenly we had a horrendous season and were relegated. And the big success at Workington, really, to be honest, is to make sure that you're ready to go again next season. You've stayed in the league and you're able, the club is running and can function the following season is the first priority. And it's a hard battle all the way to keep the club going, and they've done really, really well to do that, because it's getting harder. You know, the travel, we travel further than anybody else. You know, the costs are rising the whole time.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, we've just spoken to Gary Hackett at Stourbridge. We're recording this bit of the show on Friday afternoon. They're on the way up to Workington now.
They're staying overnight
because it works the other way as well, obviously, because the travel, it's 5 hours from the West Midlands. So.
Yeah, we're away next weekend, in fact. We travel next Friday. We're playing Colville in Leicestershire. So we stay overnight next week. And then second week in April, we're at Barwell again in Leicestershire, and that's another overnight stop. We've stopped overnight at Corby and Grantham. So those four games are overnight stops for Workington. Now, we've had a lot of rain today. I mean, I'm hoping the game is on tomorrow, because it's very special for us too. Well, as well as being a great game between two of the sides pushing for promotion, it's also a big day, if I can mention this. Tony Hopper, who played over 200 games for Workington, played over 100 for Carlisle United in the Football League. It's recently been announced that he's suffering from motor neurone disease, and he's going to be guest of honour with his family. There's big fundraising efforts to raise cash for what they're going to call magic moments for the family. So he's got three boys as well to go away on Disneyland and things like that. They've done something similar when they were guests at Carlisle United. He's down at Workington's Borough Park. It'd be quite emotional. And great guy, Tony. Wonderful, wonderful lad. And it's such a tragedy that he's got such an illness like that. And that's why we're hoping that the day will improve. The weather today is awful, by the way. It's shocking. I just hope that it isn't going to affect the attendance, or B, even if it comes really bad overnight and the game is cancelled.
Well, I've already promised Gary Hackett that it takes a lot for a game on the west coast of Cumbria to get called off, so I don't think the club's got any choice.
We were off about 3 weeks ago against Hales Owen, man. I hope you haven't made a false promise there.
I think I probably have.
Can I just say a quick word about Stourbridge? We played them down there, and in 27 minutes we were 5-0 down. They were excellent. That's the best team we've played this season. You can take your Blythes, you can take whoever you want. Stourbridge, when we played them down there and beat us 5-0, they were excellent. You know, and that's another thing. You know, your opening comment about Workington's inconsistency, that really affected us badly. You don't realise, do you, when you've just been beaten 5-0, mm-hmm. you've conceded 5 goals in 27 minutes. The next two games, we were awful. The confidence had just gone, and we lost two games at home after that. Which we were accepted. We just didn't play well. The confidence was completely drained. We were shot at, all as a result of that 5-0 defeat at Stourbridge. So in many ways, we owe Stourbridge something for that, because they really gave us a lesson that day. And that was before, of course, they got on their good cup run.
And just to add, BBC Cumbria will be covering the match as well, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes, I'll be there. Radio Cumbria do a really brilliant job. I mean, I go around the various other clubs, and the local radio don't take much interest at a certain level. But Radio Cumbria do a great job. They cover Carlisle United, home and away, with full match commentaries. They do Barra, full match commentaries. And then we, unfortunately now, I say that from a working point of view, we are third in the pecking order. So it's really, basically, every 10 minutes they come across for an update, or if there's any goals, they come across and, you know, they record my voiceover for the goals and play them ahead of coming over. So, but I'll be there tomorrow. We'll be coming over every 10 minutes or so to find out what's happening.
I know I shouldn't say this because I'm friends with Berkey at GMR, but in my experience, BBC Radio Cumbria's sports department, with the teams you've mentioned there and the rugby league coverage as well, it's a superb local radio station. And credit
thank you. I'll pass that on. Yeah, they're good lads as well. You know, who work there. It's a pleasure.
Well, John Walsh, thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute treat.
Thank you very much indeed.
And you have a good weekend. Is it getting to the stage now where it's do or die for Workington?
Yeah, absolutely. It looked like they were going to be not necessarily nailed on, but you thought they had a great chance. But it's 14 defeats now for them. And I know Warrington are in the same boat. Both teams have barely drawn any games. It just seemed to be win or loss for them. But you start to think it might be towards that last chance saloon. But it's just so tight up there, Ben. And, you know, we've already... You would think that it's certainly the top nine. But, you know, you think have Grantham still got a chance? You would think Barwell possibly not. Rushall have games in hand, so you might keep them in the frame. Workington do still have a chance, but... They've got to arrest this run of defeats. They've just got to even a draw or two might be okay. And this one, I mean, you'd think they might take a point against a Stourbridge team that have been in good form of late. They know how to grind out results, and in Luke Bembo up front, they have a real talent in my view.
Now in fourth position, we mentioned Workington ebbing and flowing with their form. Whitby Town are in fourth position on 63 points, 5 points behind Stourbridge, 2 points clear in the playoffs from sixth place Buxton. This weekend, Whitby Town will be travelling to Stafford Rangers, and we've already heard from Neil Kitching this week. Where are you at the moment, Whitby Town, from a partisan perspective, Andrew?
We're fourth, and we're just delighted to be fourth. We couldn't quite believe that, you know, looking at the league table, we're ninth before the Hillzone game. Suddenly at full time we're fourth. It just shows how ridiculous it is up there. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams separated by 3 points going for those last two playoff places, you would think. I think we'd be cautiously optimistic, but I mean, it would be a brave man to try and select those next two teams, as well as Nantwich and Stourbridge, in the playoffs. Whitby are just happy to be up there. Trip to Stafford will be tough. Only 4 defeats at home for Neil Kitchen's men. A long trip from Whitby, and I would suspect that with a fairly indifferent away record, a point wouldn't be too disappointing for Chris Hardy from a Whitby perspective.
And we've got... are you covering the game?
Absolutely, yeah. As long as we can find some space in the press box, we have to call ahead. But we will be at Marsden Road for that one. Yeah, it's Stafford Rangers, Whitby Town. It'll be a tough one for Whitby Buster. They're missing the skipper, Stephen Snaith. He starts a two-match suspension for accumulated booking. So maybe one or two changes for that long trip.
Warrington are in fifth position. They'll be travelling to Sutton Coldfield Town. And if those teams in the playoff race at the moment, if there was one place you wanted Warrington Town to go to break their run of form at the moment, it would be Sutton Coldfield Town away, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Sutton, who had a vital win in midweek, keeps them in touch with the sides above them directly in that relegation scrap. And that's tight as well. Mm. You have Sutton Coldfield, third bottom, 37 points, and then 2 points above them, get one with one game in hand, Frickley. Then Hillzone, who I saw in midweek, and I have to say they were poor. Corby on the same amount of points, who are absolutely flying at the moment. And then Marine just 1 point above them in 18th. So it's so tight, and maybe some saying that Coville aren't completely safe yet either. But yeah, it's a hell of a shake-up. But yeah, Sutton gave themselves a great chance with that victory in midweek. They've got a decent home record on the artificial surface. And it'd be interesting to see how Warrington handle that. But you would think Sutton, they've got an outside chance. They could stay up.
And for those people who track these kinds of things, just to let you all know, Toby McCormack, chairman at Warrington Town, was on the show last week. The next game, Warrington won. So it is possible to come on the show and not be too affected by the pressure of being on the show. So congratulations to Warrington Town for breaking that hoodoo last week. Superb stuff. Buxton are in sixth. They're travelling to Rushall Olympic. Now, obviously, Buxton in their last outing last weekend had a cracking draw against Blyth Spartans. And after that match, Buxton's YouTube channel caught up with manager at Buxton, Martin McIntosh.
Martin, interesting result against Blyth. 2-2 here at the Tarmac Silverland Stadium. An incredible game of football, particularly for the neutrals watching. What did you think to the game?
Yeah, it must have been entertaining. Not for us in the sidelines, but... Yeah, I thought both teams contributed really well, and I felt that a draw was probably right in the end. I think we had the better chances, more of the play first half, and I think Blyth were the better team second half, and you know, as I say, I think a draw was probably about the right result. Going 2-0 up, well, I am, you know, disappointed with the goals we've conceded. And you know, but I think it was a game that we really wanted to go in and win. But unfortunately, you know, the quality of Blyth in the second half hurt us.
Brilliant goal by Jamie Green and another goal for Liam Hardy. That's 18-6 this season for the Bucks. Must make a massive difference having a striker that's at the minute averaging over a goal a game for you.
Yeah, he's a fantastic striker, and you know, that's why we work so hard with the chairman to try and get him back. He loves it at Buxton, you know, that everyone around the place, you know, think the world of him. A bit like Maguire for Blyth, you know, they're two of the best strikers in the league, and you know, it's you know, we're delighted to have him.
The game as itself, as I said, for a neutral earlier on, does this really show the quality of the Northern Premier League and what your players, and to be fair, Blyth, have to offer? Does it, you know, has it given a real account for what this league's about?
Well, Blyth are definitely the best side. There's no doubt about it. You can't be that far ahead in the table without being the best side. And you know, they show so much quality. They're brave. They take the game to you. They're such good attacking players that they've got, and they win more games than you know. They don't just go to draw matches. They go to win matches, and you can see the formation that they play. You know, they're very brave and confident in their strikers and their attacking players.
A good Silverlands crowd today coming up to support the Bucks. Could you feel the difference behind you? Could you hear the noise, particularly when Buxton pressed forward? Could you feel it on the bench or on the pitch?
Yeah, it was a better atmosphere than some other games that we've had. And, you know, it does help us. It helps everyone. It gives everyone a lift. And, you know, like I say, I'm sure from now until the end of the season that the fans will play a big part for us if they come in numbers. Because we've got a lot of home games, and they can definitely help us win matches.
Two big games coming up next week, away in the League Cup and then away at Rushall Olympic next Saturday. Will he change things around in the League Cup, or are you going full out now for almost two positions?
We'll see how the lads are in the next day, tomorrow and Monday, and we'll see what we've got available. We've got a chance to go into the semi-final in the Cup, so I'll probably play quite a strong side and try and keep the players' fitness up, momentum up, and we'll go down there and we'll try and win the match going into Rushall on Saturday away, which will be another very, very difficult game, as they all are.
And finally, just proving how the lads have performed today and the result they've got, does it show that the confidence is there within your squad and within the team setup? That you can now really go on a push and stick in that promotion, those promotion places?
Yeah, well, if Blyth are the best team in the league, we've certainly given them a, you know, a real fright in the first half. If we'd got the third goal, we could have been out of sight. But you know, it just shows that, you know, the lads should be confident, and it shows that we've got very, very good players, and we're in the top five for a reason.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Martin.
Thank you.
And a big thank you there to the YouTube channel at Buxton for that clip. That was Martin McIntosh there. Back to this match against Rushall, though. Well, Rushall have had a cracking season. They still have games in hand, but it's looking increasingly likely now that they're going to be involved in that playoff shake-up over the next month.
Yeah, I mean, it's the games in hand that make a difference. I'm a little disappointed you never told me about the hoodoo. Hoodoo? I never knew about the hoodoo before you invited me on.
You're but in yeah, fourth! You're fourth! How bad's it been?
Oh, we've been apart from a hoodoo. It's been great. Buxton at Rushall. Seen Rushall as well recently last weekend. I mean, they drew 1-1 at Whitby and were good value for it. They could easily have won that game. They're really well set up and they've got some decent players in there. They play some good football, though. They like to get their fullbacks bombing on, and I think they're a decent side. That could be a really good game of football, actually. Yeah, Rushall Buxton. Maybe a similar sort of style for either side. Wouldn't want to call that one, really. It's a big game for Buxton, though. One of those games in hand on Whitby and Warrington above them. And they're locked on points with Matlock as well. I mean, what a time to be in that Peak District area with that rivalry. That could be, you know, last day of the season, those two maybe going for one place on the last kick. I mean, amazing.
Absolutely, and mention Matlock there. They're travelling to Hurst Cross to take on Ashton United this weekend. I think Ashton United, they're in 14th, but they've just had such an up-and-down season, really. But there's easier places to go to if you wanted 3 points to keep in playoff contention.
Absolutely right. There really is. And they are a difficult side to call, Ashton. They are very Jekyll and Hyde. They have won more than they've lost, and they're not terrible at home. They certainly aren't. I think that's a tricky one for Matlock. It really could be, especially with them not being a great travelling side overall.
And Spennymoor Town, they're in 9th position at the moment. Loads of games in hand at the moment. 2 points from the playoff positions. They've got 3 games in hand over Workington, 2 games in hand over Matlock and Buxton, and 4 games in hand over Warrington Town. They've got just a mere 3 games in hand over Whitby Town, who are 3 points up the road. Spennymoor Town this weekend, though. Spennymoor Town are travelling to Micklover Sports, who are, you mentioned Jekyll and Hyde. Well, Micklover Sports, blimey, they're, when they are feeling a bit Mr. Hyde, they've got a bite to them.
Yeah, a funny one, Micklover. I mean, they're only 6 points clear of the relegation zone, so they're not quite safe yet, in my view. They're another one, a strange team at home. They haven't drawn a game at home yet. They either win or lose, and it'd be interesting to see how that this one goes. Spennymoor have slipped up a little bit on the roads on a couple of occasions, but with all those games in hand, I mean, I would be extremely surprised if Spennymoor don't make the playoffs. They might still make that second place as well. They're a very good side. They've got a very big squad, and they score goals as well. 70 goals this season. Only Nantwich and Blythe have scored more, and that from only 34 games as well. So I would be very surprised if Spennymoor don't make the playoffs, and I would expect them to get something at Micklover.
In 10th position, we've got Grantham Town. They're hosting Marine. Because of the games played, they've played the same number of games as Warrington Town, but they're 4 points behind them. It just feels increasingly unlikely now for Grantham, but certainly been a cracking season and definitely something to build on for next year, assuming they don't make it towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say a last chance saloon for them. It is a must-win game at the weekend against Marine. Marine, of course, for other reasons, it's a huge game for them. I mean, just a point away from the relegation zone, 18th in the league, and you look behind, you see Corby, you see Hillzone, you see Frickley. You know, they could be dumped into that relegation zone if it's a bad one for them, that trip to Grantham. I mean, they're a poor side on the road as well, Marine. They really are, just 3 wins away from home in the Evo Stick League, and a very, very tough assignment on Saturday.
And let's head down towards the bottom then. Corby Town have been absolutely brilliant, but they're not out of the woods yet. Sutton Coldfield, 22nd position, 37 points. 4th from bottom, you've got Frickley Athletic, who've got a game in hand, 39 points. Also on 39 points, with 3 games in hand over Frickley Athletic, is Hales Owen. And then there's Corby Town on 39 points as well. It's so, so tight. We heard from Tommy Brookbanks last week, and he's suggesting that to get out of this, Coldfield Town are going to need another 7 points. They're going to need to get to 50 points. And Corby Town, they've got to travel to Barwell this weekend.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with Tommy on that, actually. Yeah, Corby, maybe a little bit worryingly for them, have not done it away from home. It's a form at home that's keeping them afloat and put together this magnificent run of late. Barwell is always a difficult place to go. I know it's a cliche, but it is. They're a really difficult side to beat. Big, strong, well organised. Not the kind of place you'd want to go when you need points. Could be a tough one for Corby. Maybe a draw in this one.
And we just mentioned Coldfield. We should go to them now. Coldfield Town, have to say, first season since promotion for Coldfield Town, getting into this level, step 3. It's been a good season so far, but based on the teams below them trying to win, trying to get points, Coldfield got to keep getting those odd wins here or there. Can they do it this weekend against Hensford?
Yeah, I think they can. It's a good setup at Cove. I like them. I enjoyed my trip there. They do play some really good attacking football, and they can cause problems for teams. It's just at the back when they sometimes find it difficult. Could be a really good game there down in the Midlands. Wouldn't want to call it.
Lastly then, for this weekend, and I've deliberately left it till last, Frickley Athletic against Hales Owen Town. This is arguably, possibly, no, I'm going to commit to it, definitely, game of the day. It's huge, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a first on match of the day for sure. Frickley against Hillzone, yeah, and it's a real 6 point. A Frickley against Hillzone. Hillzone have really got to step things up, having seen them in midweek at Whitby. They've got another Yorkshire outfit away from home in Frickley. Frickley will be up for it. And if Hillzone let their heads go down as they did in the second half at Whitby, they will have a very, very long afternoon ahead of them. I have to fancy Frickley, having seen Hillzone recently.
But it's certainly going to be a very interesting weekend. And Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. Don't forget, Whitby Town Radio will be covering that match against Stafford Rangers. But you take care, have fun, and a safe journey down there. And we'll be hearing from you probably, I'd imagine, before the end of the season. So Andrew Snaith, a big thank you for joining us.
An absolute pleasure, Ben. Thanks very much.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests this week. So many to choose from. There's been loads of people on this week's show. So a big thank you, one and all. A special thank you to Drolsden for their hospitality on Tuesday night. Lovely, lovely food and a lovely, lovely jukebox. And a cracking game of football, we should say, as well. Also, a special thank you to Whitby Town Radio, Stafford Rangers TV and Buxton's YouTube channel. And a big thank you to you, dear listener, as well, for tuning in too. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. You can follow the show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet, that's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.